For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Let's open in prayer tonight as we come around the Word of God, specifically around the Word of healing and health, which is what God wants for His people. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you, we commit this word to you, and Father, I ask that by your Spirit you speak to the hearts of all present here and those that would listen to this, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're looking at dealing with barriers to health and healing, and we're looking at from a spiritual, biblical perspective. I'm not going through what we should know through common sense about not smoking and not drinking alcohol and exercising and things like that. I'm going through some barriers, spiritual barriers to health and healing tonight. So link this sermon with the sermon that I preached on Sunday, Believing for God's Goodness. And there is a study as well which goes through quite a few examples of where personal sin of a person that the Bible gives illustration of where personal sin led to them being afflicted with sickness or infirmity. I'll go through one example tonight of that as well. But the study called Biblical Answers About Healing is on the website under the study section. So tonight we're going to look at a few barriers, and these will obviously overlap, but it's important for us to understand what they are. So I'm going to look at, first of all, not understanding that healing is in the redemption that Christ has paid for, and there is a woeful lack of understanding amongst Christians even about this, that the blood of Jesus has paid for our redemption, and there's that lack of understanding about that. I'm also going to go through the barrier of approaching the word in unbelief. Of course, if you heard that sermon on Sunday, then you know that that's covered a lot already. And the third area is persisting in sin or not dealing with sin. And so we'll look at some of those things as well. There are other areas, but we may not have time to go through that. Let's look at this area of not understanding that healing is in the redemption that Christ has paid for. Now, I'll just quote in John 8, 31 and 32. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So you've got to know the truth, the word of God. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. So you've got to know the truth, and it's the truth you know that shall make you free. It's not the truth sitting on the mantelpiece and you never look at it or study it or meditate on it. It's the truth you know that will make you free. And that's an important thing to understand, the prosperity of the soul. Let's have a look, and we'll turn to Hosea 6, verse 4. Hosea 6, verse 4. And in this one, we see a very clear statement about what ignorance or lack of knowledge does to people. So Hosea 6, verse 4a, we just want to go through the first part of this scripture. And let's have a look here. Yes. So it's Hosea 6:4. Hosea, in the book of Hosea, it says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I think I'd better get that particular one, because that's a very important one for us to know. And whilst I'm getting that, I want you to understand that the truth that you know makes you free. If you know nothing about the truth of the Word of God, if you know nothing about the truth of healing, you're going to have some real problems. So what we have to understand is that when we look into the word of healing, then God is going to speak to us. It's Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea 4, you're in the book of Hosea. Let's look at this. Hosea 4 verse 6a. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So this is very important for us to see that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So the knowledge that we need to have about healing is that it is part of what the Lord Jesus Christ has provided in redemption. So if we look at, for example, in Galatians 3 verse 13, and I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail about this, but just give us a basic understanding that in the redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us, in that redemption there is healing and health. And Galatians 3, looking at verse 13, and we should know this pretty well here, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Notice what it says in the next part, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, how? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The Bible says that sin entered into the world through the fall of Adam, and death by sin. So the death cycle and everything associated with death entered in. So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. Now what does that tell us? Well, we need to know what the curse of the law is. We're not going to go into that, but if you look at it in your own study, Deuteronomy 28 talks about what the curse of the law is. And the curse of the law has obviously death, and the second death is part of that as well, poverty and sickness and infirmity is all under that. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so we need to be aware of this, that we're not just saved from, oh well, I won't go to hell when I die. But it's more than that now. It's so that we can live strong lives on the earth and be able to go forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And where it says in Exodus 15:26, don't turn to it, where it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, he is the same Lord now that healeth us. Okay, he's the same Lord that healeth us. He's the same Jesus from yesterday, today and forever. So Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you look in 1 Peter 2:24, we see what he did on the cross. We see what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross and paid for our redemption. Everything that's in salvation. And he paid for it by his blood. There's many scriptures that talk about that we're being redeemed by the blood of Christ. So looking at 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it's a well-known scripture for those that know about this area of redemption. There's many sermons that we've preached that are on the website. You can go and have a look at this. And you can see here in verse 24, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Notice it says, by whose stripes, that's those lashings upon him, by whose stripes ye were healed. So the curse was put upon him so that you and I could be healed. Ye were healed. So if you were healed, then you are healed. in God's eyes. Praise the Lord. So you can take hold of that healing and health. You can receive it by faith. So the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And one of the big barriers to healing and health and walking in that is, as I mentioned before, not understanding that healing and health is in the redemption that Christ paid for on the cross. And sadly, as I said, there's a lack of teaching and understanding on this. So that's why God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Think of that, lack of knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you've got to know the Word, get into the Word, and understand the Word, and understand what it means, "by whose stripes ye were healed." It's not just talking about spiritual healing. It's healing for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. So we see here that when we have an understanding of that, then that lack of knowledge will pass away. That lack of knowledge won't be that barrier that will cause people to be destroyed. You know, if you know the truth and the truth will make you free, then if you don't know the truth, it's the opposite, isn't it? You can stay in bondage, and there's many people that have. So we must understand that redemption is all about mercy, God's mercy, His mercy. He paid for our healing and redemption by His mercy and His love. So, you know, you might hear some people say, "Well, my aunt such and such died and she was a good Christian. Well, you know, if anyone deserved to be healed, she did." It's not a matter of whether you deserve to be healed. None of us deserve to be healed. None of us deserve to be saved. You see what I mean? We were dead in trespasses and sins. So it's a matter of God's mercy. Did they understand about redemption? Did they understand what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross? Did they understand that He was made a curse for them and that now they're redeemed from the curse of the law? So clearly, people can't approach it from, "Oh, I've been a good person, and so therefore I deserve to be healed." That's not the way to approach this. It's not the way to approach it at all. We approach it by faith and receive what God has provided. Now, you know, if you have a lack of understanding in this area, you could say things, and there's people that say this, "Oh, it might not be God's will for me to be healed." But it is God's will for you to be healed. He is the Lord that healeth thee. He's provided that provision through the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption. And so we don't want to be in that category of not knowing the truth or having a lack of knowledge. And praise the Lord, that's why, you know, you're provided. And you're in a place where you can be provided with lots of scripture and lots of teaching with respect to this. Praise God. So let's move on to the next one, approaching the Word in unbelief. And we cannot allow our words and actions say that God is a liar, okay, and that His Word is not true. If we let our words get in the way, then we will not enter into God's blessings. Let's have a look at Romans 3 and verse 4. Romans 3, verse 4. So this one is a very important area, because if you heard what I was talking about the other day, the children of Israel could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. And we'll look at another scripture that Jesus could do no mighty works in a certain place except heal a few people, and it was because of their unbelief. So unbelief presents a big barrier to people receiving what God has already provided for, and we don't want to be in that category at all. So looking at Romans 3 verse 4, it says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So let's look at that first bit. Let God be true and every man a liar. So sometimes people have to be brought up in understanding the word and brought into a position where they're able to receive from the Lord by faith. Okay, so if you were to look at healing evangelists of the past, you'll see that many times people can get prayed over and then one day they get it and they receive it by faith. It's not that it wasn't there, because I believe that when there's the laying on of hands, there is power for people to recover. But the receiving of it is very important. And there can be things like sin, and unbelief is definitely in the category of sin. So you don't say, well, I got prayed for by the best. You know, and you're going to list all types of people that might have prayed for you, but I didn't get it. No, that's not the way to approach it. You approach it by, well, there is something that I need to know. I know it's God's will for me to be healed. I know about the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's provided. I know about that. And so Lord, it must be something that I'm not getting. Please show me. You know, you start to seek the Lord rather than blame the Lord. And some people get into a sort of a blaming type of way. And you may not actually say it out loud, but if you're not careful, you could be implying that God is a liar. And we don't want, we want to say, well, no, the word is true. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And healing is God's will for me. It's God's will for his people. And, you know, I know that there's something that needs to be done. And if there's unbelief, I've got to get that out, because God doesn't want unbelief in my heart. So let God be true, but every man a liar. Now, Titus 1 verse 2, I won't turn to that, but Titus 1 verse 2 says God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And you've got a pure word here, and you love the word of God, and you say, well, there's no lie here. There's no lies here. So you must have a high view of the word of God, a very high view of the word of God. The Bible talks about glorifying his word. Glorifying his word. Okay? So you must have not worshipping his word, but glorifying, esteeming it. Esteeming his word. Have a very high view of the word of God. And that will stop you from ever saying that God is wrong, you know, or ever even implying that, whether by your words or your actions. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, thy word is truth. Truth. It's truth. Okay? It doesn't matter what the atheist might say. It doesn't matter what the person down the street might say to you, oh, the Bible's full of contradictions. Show it to me. Show it to me. Go on. You know, get him involved in a conversation then perhaps. But the actuality is a lot of people are speaking out of ignorance. They just don't know. Okay? And if it's a Christian saying it, even more, then my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So let's never be in that situation where we are allowing ourselves to imply that God is wrong. He's never wrong. If there's something wrong, it'll be with us, or something is not quite right. Let's have a look at an example in Jesus' life in Mark 6, 1-6. Now, obviously I went through quite a lot in the Sunday's sermon on believing for God's goodness, so I'm not going to go through all those scriptures. For example, the one in Hebrews 3, which talks about take heed lest you have an evil heart of unbelief. You don't want a heart of unbelief. You've got to keep unbelief out. Treat it like poison. Glory to God. So we're looking at Mark 6, and we're looking at verses 1 to verse 6 here. Mark 6, 1-6. Now glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord Jesus Christ met up with some opposition here. Mark 6, 1-6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. He was a great preacher of the word of God, great teacher. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of Jesus and Joses and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And, notice what it says here, they were offended at him. Isn't that terrible? That was their attitude of offence. Offence. They were offended at him. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And, this is a very interesting statement, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. He continued to teach. So obviously, you know, he's giving people an opportunity to hear and for faith to come, and for them to then respond to what he's preaching and teaching. He marvelled because of their unbelief, and it says he could there do no mighty work. In a similar situation today, if there's unbelief present, and that can be in anything that the Lord is wanting to give. It can be in the area of being saved from sin, from going to hell. If people will not believe the gospel that Jesus died for their sins, they will die in their sins. Okay, because they didn't receive it. And we're talking specifically about the area of healing today and health. And we don't want to be in that category of being offended at the word or resisting the word, or even implying that God is wrong. So get unbelief out and start to believe. Now, believing and faith is very much connected. Okay, very, very much connected. Jesus said, have faith in God. And then he went on and talked about believing in your heart, not doubting in your heart, believing in your heart, speaking to a mountain, and so on. So we must be people that are of faith and believing and standing in the Lord. Glory to God. So let's have a look at this other area. And of course, approaching the word in unbelief is sin. Let's understand this. Persisting against the Lord is sin. Looking at John 5, let's look at John 5. And this third area that I'll cover is persisting in sin. Persisting in sin. A very big area. And we'll also look at an example of a person who was struck with an infirmity because they sinned. All right, and in that biblical answers about healing, there's a whole list, biblical list of various people that the Bible gives examples of who sinned and something happened to them in the area of sickness or infirmity or ill health. Now, this is not to say, and it's very important for you to understand this, not to say that every sickness that comes your way or every infirmity or every disease is because of your personal sin. We're not saying that at all. You know, obviously a baby born with a deformity has not sinned. But because we're living on a sin planet, because we're living on a fallen planet, because we're living in an environment of sin and the curse, obviously there are entry points in that. However, having said that, Personal sin and people persisting in personal sin is a very big barrier to people receiving healing. And also it can invite the enemy into their lives. And what Jesus says here is very informative for us in John 5. So we'll look at, start from verse 1 of John 5. And, you know, I want you to see in this exactly what the Lord Jesus said. Very, very important to see this. So John 5, starting from verse 1, and we'll go to verse 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind halt withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now that's a long time, isn't it? And it also tells us that it doesn't matter how long a person has had an infirmity, God can still meet them in healing and restoration. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? It's a question to him, isn't it? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Now Jesus gave him an instruction next. Okay, now think about this. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And then you can see how there were people carrying on about not being healed on the Sabbath. Quite an irrelevant thing to say. But going down to verse... And now, before we look at this particular scripture, I want you to realise that the Lord met this man even though he had an infirmity a long time. So never ever give up. And one of the other areas of, and we can't cover it tonight, one of the other areas that's a barrier is people not persisting in faith. Not persisting, but giving up and thinking that the Lord can't meet them. Okay, so go down to verse 14. It says, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. This is a statement that Jesus made. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So can things come because of sin to people? Yes, indeed. And there's many scriptural examples of this. We'll look at one in just a minute. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So, not persisting in sin. We must not be people that persist in sin. We must, in fact, walk in holiness and love. And so Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. That's something that we need to take to heart. Let's look at an example of a person who was struck with an infirmity because he did the wrong thing, but the Lord had mercy on him. Let's have a look at that in 1 Kings 13, 1 to 6. Let's look at that. 1 Kings 13. So starting from verse 1, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and unto thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. That was instant judgment, wasn't it? Coming against the man of God there. Verse 5, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered, and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So here's a person who was repentant of what they had done, and actually asked for restoration. And that's something that we should understand as well. If we have been involved in sin, we don't persist in that, but we ask for God's forgiveness and his cleansing. Glory to God. So just one more scripture, and this is still in the persisting in sin area and not repenting of it, because repentance is a cleansing, a clearing house, so to speak. So look at Mark 11, and we'll look at 24 to 26 of Mark 11. We'll finish with this one tonight. Mark 11, 24 to 26. Now, there's other scriptures we could go into. For example, the Bible says that faith which worketh by love, faith works by love. So if we're not walking in love, you'll find that your faith will be affected as well. Now, here we see in verse 24, Therefore I say, this is Jesus speaking, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There's that believing, isn't it? Believe you receive them and you shall have them. And now he addresses something that could stop that receiving. Verse 25, and, so that and connects it, doesn't it? And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So forgiveness is an important thing so that we can walk in love, and thereby our faith to receive is able to be clear for us. So obviously forgiveness is an act of will, because Jesus said forgive. And if he says you can forgive, then you can forgive. So it's not on the basis of whether you feel like forgiving a person or not. And a way to do it, if you don't feel like forgiving, is you say, Father, I forgive that person in the name of Jesus by faith. And help me, Lord, to go forward in this, in Jesus' name. Okay, and you'll find that the Lord will meet you in that. Praise God. So we've gone through tonight dealing with barriers to health and healing, and I know that the Lord is present. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. And if we were to look in Mark 16, and I'll just quote a scripture in Mark 16, because a point of contact for healing so that you can receive is in fact the laying on of hands and prayer. And so it's something that we can be open to and something that we can say, well, Lord, I know that there have been things in my life that I need to get right with you. And Lord, I want to receive what you have provided. And Mark 16, and we'll just look at verses 17 and 18. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Notice believe, not follow them that are in unbelief. Follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. This last part, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So recovery is there in the laying hands of the sick. Let's...